Good morning, afternoon, or evening, everybody. My name is Bill Woodcock.
And I'm Steve Hunt.
And you are watching or listening to the very first episode of the But Before We Go podcast, where we talk about all things Generation X, the life we've lived, the life we're living, the life we have yet to live, and especially emphasizing all of those things we grew up with from 1970 to 2000, and they didn't kill us.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know the old saying, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Well, as we go through some of these things from our childhood, we should all be built like Arnold because any one of those things, by all rights, should have done it, but it didn't. And here we are.
Emotionally, Steve, and spiritually, we are all Arnold. At least I'd like
True.
to think we're Arnold. And in fact, there could be several episodes just about Arnold, because where do you start? Arnold the bodybuilder, Arnold the actor, Arnold the governor, Arnold the Kennedy extended family member, or the current day Arnold, even if we wanted to go there. But we could find four separate episodes on Arnold Schwarzenegger just inside of this scope of relevance from 70 to 2000.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bill. Arnold was also at one point in time, I forget which administration, but he was the president, or he was the head of the President's Council on Fitness. And Arnold, being a bodybuilder, was very big into diet. And I bet you the one thing he probably did not consume is the subject of this morning, afternoon, or evening's podcast.
You know me too well. I think we may have done a podcast before.
You
And
know, maybe.
that is a perfect transition into the subject of today's podcast. It is that breakfast staple, the Kellogg's Pop-Tart, Steve. Steve, the toaster pastries of our generation. I cannot think of a more perfect food than the humble Pop-Tart. They came in an array of flavors, a wide array of flavors: strawberry, cherry, blueberry, brown sugar, cinnamon. They were in grape, they were in apple, they were in Dutch apple. They later on came in cookies and cream, s'mores, and many other taste-tempting flavors. They were part of any Gen X kid's super sugary breakfast, along with a glass of orange juice, maybe a glass of milk, and a kick the ass out the door because we were late and needed to get our butts to school. And we ate those damn things between the front door and the bus stop, and we liked it. What are your shining memories of Kellogg's Pop-Tarts, Steve?
Absolutely. And, I go back to, we will call it the OG of the Pop-Tart, because before all the frosting and all these crazy flavors, my son is a teenager. He's into the, was it brown sugar cinnamon or sugar brown cinnamon? I don't know what that, whatever it is he consumes. And he has it just like, he feels like a snack and he eats a pack of Pop-Tarts. But for us, as you know, Bill, being the latchkey kids that we were the post father knows best. Ozzie and Harriet, there was none of this mom calling up the stairs saying, come on down to have breakfast. And there was this feast awaiting us to consume before we went off to school. Why? Because both of our parents were working, because they were out the door either right before or right at the same time we were. And so, guess what? As you said, if we wanted something in the morning, 10-year-old Steve was not making full course gourmet meals. 10-year-old Steve was firing up a Pop-Tart pack and he was making a glass of Tang. And he was choking down the Tang with the first Pop-Tart and eating the second Pop-Tart on the way to the bus stop.
You know, that special Metamucil-like grit of Tang would certainly wake
God.
one up on a school day morning. But you just hit upon many things. And again, the number of podcast episodes we can do, folks, it's infinite. Aren't you glad to know that? Because we can talk about Tang. We can talk about what it was like to be home after school. We can talk about those other gourmet meals of our youth. Hot dogs and macaroni and cheese, for example. But we're not. We're talking only about Pop-Tarts. So, Steve, what you told me is a very important thing. Are you telling me that you have Pop-Tarts at other times of the day other than breakfast?
When I was a kid, the only other time I might do a Pop-Tart is before practice. So, you get home after school, you've got whatever sport at the time, because we played sports all year round in my household, and you needed a quick snack before you went off to practice. And so if you needed something quick and you needed something filling and you needed something with a full day supply of what the commercials say, your full day supply of vitamin C or whatever the vitamins and minerals you were supposed to get a full day supply of, guess what? You went back to the box, baby, and you knocked out a Pop-Tart on your way to the field.
Well, no. Well, Pop-Tarts were not just for the morning. But what I'm a little mystified about is where do you get off with this whole thing about them having nutritional value? Remember them having 100% daily supply of shit, except maybe for sugar, and they had like 300% the daily supply of that. But it was also part of your hopped up breakfast along, I mean, a perfect day would be eating some like Kellogg sugar smacks or something very hopped up in sugar in the morning. Pop tarts for lunch, because who needs a sandwich? Who needs a banana? Who needs those rectangular pizza pieces when you got pop tarts? And then you know what? Why do we eat pop tarts when we got home? Because mom and dad left us alone. Why didn't we cook? Too much trouble. You said it exactly. Who gave a damn? Eat another thing of pop tarts and you're good. So by that time, you've had like about 300 grams of sugar. You're basically jumping around like a coke addict, and then oh, and speaking of coke, what do you wash it down with? An old-fashioned Coca-Cola, another 70 grams of sugar right there. So, I mean, what other better meal than there are Pop-Tarts? I don't understand how our army during like the Gulf Wars never just lived on Pop-Tarts, or perhaps they did because they are compact, they were full of sugar and full of energy. I mean, let's just say, I mean, Pop-Tarts are full of energy. So you brought up, like you said, the OG Pop-Tart before, and you mentioned your son eating it's brown sugar and cinnamon, by the way. I don't know what you're saying, sugar and brown cinnamon. I don't know what you're I don't know where you're going, but what sort of Pop-Tarts did you prefer, the frosted or the unfrosted?
Well, again,
And
we
actually, let's just say this. What type of pop part is that?
what top pop top. Well, here's what I will tell you. Obviously, at our age, I came out with a Pop Tart was unfrosted. So you basically had the strawberry Pop Tart, and then I think the next one that came out might have been the blueberry. Because the original gangsters, I believe, would be strawberry, blueberry, and then they came out with cherry. Was were like the first three out of the box. And then one day we're in the grocery store and we see a box of Pop-Tarts and there's this white substance on top of it. And me and my brothers are like, what is that? And so of course, mom being mom was like, well, I'll get a box and you guys can try it. Frosted Pop-Tarts, you want to talk about Nirvana. Oh my God. We're going to talk about a lot of things and a lot of moments where they came out with something new. And as a Gen Xer, I was like, whoa, well, I won't get into it because we have so many podcasts to cover this. But I just remember the first time having a frosted Pop-Tart. It was breakfast, lunch, dinner, and dessert all in one bite. It was amazing. And so my
Yeah.
all-time favorite is still to this day the frosted strawberry.
Okay, so you're like me. So you subscribe to frosted as opposed to unfrosted. Once you have frosted, you've done been accosted, is what I say.
I like that.
And those unfrosted damn Pop-Tarts are just dry. And they would, and the other thing about the unfrosted Pop-Tarts is they looked unfriendly. They looked like cardboard. They had the little V's in the top that were for like the filling to come out. But no, the frosted Pop-Tarts were the thing. And I would also say frosted strawberry is strong, but I would have to go frosted for sure. And if we're going down the road, of favorite flavor. And I think I gotta go with chocolate fudge,
Ooh.
because that was like I mean, I love myself my candy bars. I mean, I love my Hershey bars when I was a kid, Reese's, Snickers, Milky Way. And around my house, Three Musketeers was a big thing, probably because I lived with old women who barely had any teeth and they could eat
Hey,
Three Musketeers.
hold up. Three Musketeers do not get as much love as they deserve. You want to talk about the underrated candies of all time? I will take out a Three Musketeers literally before just about anything else. There needs to be more love for the Three Musketeers. And Halloween, no love for the Three Musketeers. They
You don't
are—they
come by
deserve
my
more love.
house because there's all sorts of Three Musketeers going out, and we need to talk about Three Musketeers in yet another episode because damn. But those chocolate fudge Pop-Tarts were just like it. I mean, it satisfied my candy Jones plus all the other things you said, Steve. They call them Pop-Tarts because they call them toaster pastries. Did you ever toast the Pop-Tarts? And if so, how often? And if so, did you prefer them toasted or untoasted?
I prefer them toasted, and what I will tell you is toasting was maybe the only thing that saved the unfrosted Pop-Tart, because the whatever that jelly-like substance was inside of the Pop-Tart, I don't even know what it is. We'll have to get into ingredients at some point, but that at least picked that up a little bit. But frosted toasted were like that. And here's the thing, we talked about nutritional value and what's in a Pop-Tart. It's frosting, right? You put heat on the frosting. Why does this not melt? Why does this hold up? What
Oh,
is in this frosting
good
that prevents it
question.
from melting under some pretty significant heat?
Good question.
But it was good.
Absolutely good question. See, here's the first place where you and I diverge. I go untoasted all the way because when you toasted the little fuckers and you would toast them for like 2 or 3 minutes. That substance in the middle, I think we can just safely call it filling, turned into lava. And you know where McDonald's got their shit for the little apple pies. They
That's true.
discontinued all the apple Pop-Tarts. Kellogg's sold all their vats of fake apple shit to McDonald's, and McDonald's put the shit into the apple pies, which were served at a temperature of that of the surface of the sun.
This is true.
So then you have these things in Pop-Tarts. Let's dig into, no pun intended, that filling. You said jelly-like substance. It was to call it jelly-like is an insult to jelly. It was like some sort of fruity paste that was kind of like the stuff you find inside a Fig Newton, but it really wasn't Newton, although I think the Newton was the outside of the fig. It was like that paste in a Fig Newton, the fig paste, except you had every confidence in the world that there was nothing natural inside of that. And it came out with, to read the ingredients label of a box of Pop-Tarts is to just scare yourself to death. And wonder, oh my God, what am I putting in my body? But I thought this when I was 10, like 3 or 4 different types of USDA dyes, colors. Like I would have the blueberry Pop-Tarts, and yet the side of the box would tell me there was USDA yellow dye number 3 in there. They're blueberry. They're blueberry. It should be friggin' blue dye. Or the worst, blue dye and red dye to make it kind of purpley. Why is there yellow dye in there? Because there's some fucker in Battle Creek, Michigan, just saying, I'm going to kill them all. Just ingesting blue, yellow dye into the vat. It was terrible. But we still ate it and we loved it because there is all sorts of emulsifiers and all sorts of agents. And now if you look at the side of a box of Pop-Tarts, it says something about some sort of bioengineered food product in there. What the hell can be in there? What
I
are
don't
they
know.
putting in there? Why is it not just flour, a little bit of fruity stuff? Some frosting. Doesn't the frosting melt? They take this frosting and they put it on the side of the space shuttle? Couldn't have. God, that's the only stuff that's hot enough. No, I can't eat them toasted. And so I went a long way answering the question, toasted or untoasted. Say untoasted because I never wanted third degree burns. And so far, I haven't had any.
Well, Bill, what I will tell you is I love the reading of those ingredients. And I think if you look carefully on the box, the expiration date is whenever the hell you feel like eating them. Because of all the stuff that's in them, I don't think they have. You know that old saying that the only thing that would survive a nuclear war would be roaches and Cher? Throw Pop-Tarts into that equation. I think they would survive a nuclear war.
You bring up nuclear war. And so go back and look at the stuff they would say to put in a fallout shelter. We lived in fallout shelters. We lived with the 1 p.m. Monday civil defense air siren warnings. But my elementary school cafeteria was our fallout shelter. It's full of windows. We would have died so badly in the case of an actual nuclear war. And my God, how many episodes come out of that topic? But you put non-perishables in there. So next to your big cans of peaches and syrup, your big food service cans of peas and vegetables, which the regular grocery stores used to carry because people would use that to stock up their pantry in the event of a nuclear emergency.
That's right.
You would put in and your big packs of batteries, the little teeny tiny double A, triple A. I mean, the friggin' C and D cells and
Oh,
those lantern batteries, and you could hurl at suckers because they needed it. And you would put in your boxes of Pop-Tarts, and they never expired. And why would they? What? What flavor of Pop-Tarts? Let's get back to this whole flavor thing, because I can remember other. Well, I can remember other flavors of Pop-Tarts. I can remember apple that they don't have anymore.
Yep,
They
I
have
remember
Apple
that.
Jack cereal flavored, which is ew.
Yeah.
They have Dutch apple, which was like apple with like a little bit of like raised grape mixed into it,
If
you know,
that,
because of the
well,
Dutch
something
part.
that resembled grapes or raisins, we'll say.
Right, and to that end, they had Concord grape, which I don't know why it was Concord grape and not any other kind of grape. No, it was grape. And I haven't seen those. Do you remember any past flavor of Pop-Tarts that you wish would come back?
Well, you hit on one that I forgot all about, and that's the apple. That was pretty tight. And you're right. And thank you for that story, but I did not know that that's what happened with some of the apple stuff at McDonald's
It's
because
just speculation, but why wouldn't it be?
because you know what though? The apple did go away, and McDonald's was still cranking out the that you know. They're still cranking their product out there. So could have been a natural thing. Although I think there might actually be something that looks more like real apples in for the McDonald's. So maybe not. I don't know. But that would be one because that again, a plain one that would toast up pretty good. And you're right. You had to be careful with the toasting. You either had to only toast it long enough to, get it a little bit soft. Or if you toasted it full blast, you had to let it cool for a minute. But I didn't want to burn mine, so mine were always lightly toasted. But yes, the apple would be one that would be nice to get back.
You know, if you were to toast them, you could reach that little nirvana of caramelized sugar in the fruity paste that they stick in the pastry, and you can go, But more often for me, it was a holy shit, what did I do to my mouth? And you just let it sit for 10 minutes until it cooled down. But I'm going to go with you. I'm going to say I miss the apple too. Now, for a while though, did you ever eat a knockoff? And by that, I mean like a store brand of Pop-Tarts or some sort of competing toaster pastry. Like, do you remember there was once a thing called merry-go-rounds?
I do vaguely remember merry-go-rounds. I can't remember ever having one, but to answer your question, yes, I have had a knockoff because obviously when Pop-Tart became popular, there were some knockoffs. And anybody that says you can't tell the difference, no, you could tell the difference. The knockoffs were even more cardboard-like than the original. They were not good. And the other one I will mention, though, remember when I think it was Pillsbury decided to come out with their own version. Remember the toaster strudel where you toasted it and then you had the thing of frosting that you
Yes.
very artistically back and forth put on top of it because it was real strudel as opposed to those fake Pop-Tart things.
Yeah, now you see, you just brought up a good point. So yes, on the merry-go-rounds, because I think that the draw of the merry-go-rounds was that they were shaped like an oval, and they actually slathered on a little bit more frosting and a little bit more crystallized sugar than the Pop-Tarts. So they tried to out-Pop-Tart the Pop-Tart. But the term merry-go-round does not, to me, that didn't really strike me for toaster pastry. Plus, I have to say, with my 70s kid sensibilities, it sounded like something girls would eat. I mean, it just did. I'm not going to sit there and tell the kids, I had some apple merry-go-rounds on the way to school. I'm going to be like, bitch, I had strawberry Pop-Tarts.
Yeah. And I'm that
Don't
dude.
look at me.
Yes.
So then you mentioned like competing products. So merry-go-rounds are one. Good call on the toaster strudel because Pillsbury did try to push that shit on us and we just rejected it. And mostly the reason why toaster strudel had to go to hell was it was too much work. You know, if I'm going to toast the shit, I'm not also putting the frosting on. You give me a choice. You either make me toast it or make me put the frosting on, not both. That's work. Now, if you're going to ask me to do that much work, you may also ask me to pour a bowl of cereal. And if you're going to do that, then I don't want a toaster pastry. Don't do that to me. I'm 11 years old. I'm a kid. I want something for breakfast. It's bad, and I don't care. Don't make me think. Pillsbury made me think when they came at me with the toaster strudel.
It also was not good on the move because that was just begging for you to get
Oh.
some of that frosting on your ass for, on the way to wherever you were going. So it also was not a good, speaking of, you know, what they should have in the military, the Pillsbury toaster strudel, not good mobile food. And if you were going to have a toaster strudel, it was summertime and you were going to be plopping down watching some morning cartoons or reruns of Gilligan's Island and I Love Lucy before you went off to hang out with the boys. That was not food that you had on the run. I could ride my bike and knock out a Pop-Tart. I could not do that with the Pillsbury Toaster Strudel ever.
No, you can't. You can't because it gets messy. And let's face it, what we said before about toasting Pop-Tarts, I mean, okay, toasting Pop-Tarts is not my thing because I have a wussy mouth. But it is a thing. I recognize it's a thing. You cannot not toast toaster strudel. You had to toast. You had no other choice but toast the fucking toaster strudel. You couldn't call it non-toaster strudel. You couldn't just call it strudel. And so imagine the shame of that. You don't even try to toast your strudel. Oh, what'd you have for breakfast, Woodcock? I had a strudel. What American child is not going to get their ass kicked
Oh,
from
my
their
God.
peers by saying, I had strudel this morning?
The
None.
insults write themselves.
None. Plus, you have the last name Woodcock.
Well, you know, Bill, mine wasn't much better because the last name of Hunt, you know, Porky's comes out in 1980 and my life becomes hell ever since. So there you
Your name is, at least your name isn't Mike.
go. It was to a lot of people after that movie came out. Because boy, did those flow freely. Oh, you want to talk about things that that the fact that I survived them makes me mentally and emotionally Arnold. Surviving Porky's? Oh yeah. But
All right, well,
that's for
we
another
got all
day.
right. So we got about 5 minutes to go in this mess. And so, we enjoyed recently like a selection of Pop Tarts. So then I think it's fair to talk about Pop Tarts today. Talking about your gross ass flavors of Pop Tarts. There was Eggo Pop Tarts for about this long.
Yep, Lego my ego. Yeah.
That's mixing toaster things. Now, Eggos were alluring.
Yeah.
That's another episode about the Eggos.
Yeah.
But to have an Eggo flavored Pop Tart is like having a Pop Tart flavored Eggo. I really think they needed to keep that shit separate, and I hope Kellogg's got on it with that and decided that. So recently I had chocolatey chip Pop Tarts, which was a fail.
Okay.
First off, chocolatey, which means that there's no actual chocolate in there. Perhaps
Right.
that's where the bioengineered food product comes from.
There you go.
So chocolatey chip, no good. S'mores, which they're okay. They're solidly okay. I'd like to see a little bit more flavor intensity, but the chocolate marshmallow paste, eh. The one that I like that they just came out with, banana bread Pop
Ooh,
Tarts. Now that's
try
good. The top, the pastry itself has a little bit of that banana bread flavor that of course comes from absolutely no natural ingredients.
Right.
And the filling, the little pasty part, is, and I don't mean pasty like those of you watching of English heritage, like a British pasty. I mean literal paste, like you would use to, glue wood together. The banana part is pretty yum. So I would say banana bread Pop Tarts are the Pop Tarts I've been missing, which also lends the thought of, Steve, what Pop Tarts are we missing out there that should be? And I'm gonna put one upside your head that I think needs to happen and hasn't yet happened. Mango Pop Tarts.
Wow. Okay. Mango. I'm not a mango guy, but that could get interesting. That could get interesting.
Mangoes are very popular. They're very good for you. They're quite healthful, and you certainly open up, market opportunities.
That could get interesting. I'll throw one out, and maybe the folks in Battle Creek have already come up with this one, and I just missed it. But this was a dessert that was really, for a while, they're a pretty big thing. Key lime. Is there a
Key
key lime
lime is
pie
not.
pop tart?
So key lime is not a bad one. That's not a bad call. Along with, if you're going to say lime, then you can also say lemon. And why not a lemon Pop Tart? I was thinking about something else to do with cinnamon, and they did actually come out with snickerdoodle flavored Pop Tarts. Alas, those were unfrosted. So those really kind of had a hard time getting out of the gate because now, when you're in your 50s, you want the frosting. I mean, you ain't got long. You may as well live while you can. Have a little bit of frosting. It's not going to kill you. Actually, it might and probably will, but I'd like to think it won't. But I
There
love
you
the
go.
key lime part. So, like a graham cracker pie, graham cracker pastry. Okay.
Yeah, the graham cracker pastry and the key lime stuff in the middle. Now, key lime pie typically does not have a topping on it, but as you said, I think the ones that you put out without the frosting have a harder time getting out of the gate. I think people want their frosting, so you might have to put a frosting on a key lime, which would take you away from the original key lime pie, but I think it would work. But last thing for you, Bill. The one thing I have also noticed in the stores lately is They now have Pop-Tart minis. Now, you can't toast them, obviously, because you can't throw those little suckers in a well, maybe in a toaster oven, I guess. But anyway, what are your thoughts on the mini?
I don't acknowledge the mini as true Pop-Tarts. Because, again, to your point, they're mini, and you can't put them in the toaster. You have to put them in the toaster oven. And now, again, now you're talking to me at 56, but I still have the thought process of 12. So I don't want to open up my toaster oven and put those little minis in there. But first off, I don't know how many minis I'm going to want. Do I
Right.
want four? Do I want six? Do I want eight? I have no clue. And but then I have to toast them, which again also is a problem for me, and then eat them. And then, so then to recook the minis, I think, is a dangerous proposition because you don't want to burn the minis. And then you get the idea of the frosting and the fruit paste getting, spread out, expanding, spilling all over the place, getting your oven sticky, and it's too much work.
Right.
If I want to do shit with my toaster oven for breakfast, I'll put a bagel in there and call it a day.
There
Toast
you
the
go.
sucker and then put my toppings of choice on it and have a good time. I
Right.
don't think I need Pop-Tarts for that. I don't think we need any variation on Pop-Tarts rather than what we have.
Yep, I agree. I mean, quite frankly, you've probably ventured off the reservation way more than I have. When I do Pop-Tarts, I'm still very much with those original flavors that, I knocked out, again back in the 70s. I mean, there are a couple of the newer ones that I've tried. I'm like, yeah, these are okay. I think what I tried once a cookies and cream, maybe, I don't know. I'm still, give me an original strawberry frosted and I'm good to go. So, and I'm with you on the minis. The only thing you can do literally is throw them in your mouth. And I don't know how many come to a pack. And like you said, do you want half a pack? Do you want a full pack? Do you want a pack and a half? I think a pack of minis is equal to one Pop-Tart. I want to meet the person that eats one Pop-Tart. I mean, that there's a reason why they're in packs of two. You open the pack, you eat them both. And that's that.
Well,
So
did you just say a pack of minis is equal to one Pop-Tart?
I think they might be. I think if like I think the minis only come, I think the quantity of minis, if you put them together, I think might equal one Pop-Tart. As far
That
as
that's completely terrible.
yeah.
Because you're right. If you're going to eat Pop-Tarts, you're going to eat that pack of two.
Yes. Yes, I remember my kids when they would get the Pop-Tarts and they'd say, oh, I only want one. I don't know that I could get the other one in a baggie for later when all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'll take the other one. No, Pop-Tarts go down in packs of two. Period, hard stop. That's what
Yeah,
you do.
no ifs, ands, or buts with that. Well, Steve, this has been quite the discussion of the breakfast food of our youth, the
Yes.
Pop-Tart. It's not the only breakfast food, and it certainly was part of this nutritious breakfast, as we were told. But they were important, and they still are. And it's good to know that Pop-Tarts are being enjoyed by new generations, and that we're trying new permutations. Who knows what 20 years from now may bring? Savory Pop-Tarts, for example. Pop-Tarts that may taste like bacon or mushy pea, as we start gumming our Pop-Tarts.
Well, once the seal got cracked, when we were kids, and that became, a lot of differences, but that became breakfast or that quick thing to knock out, there was no turning back. I'd like to meet the parent that either had the time or the inclination to say, no, I'm not gonna like throw a box of Pop-Tarts in the cupboard and tell the kids you need something, have at it. I'm gonna make a full course meal before I go off to work. There was no turning back. It was gonna be Pop-Tarts. Eggos had their day. Cereal is kind of that thing that never goes away. I've never been into cereal, but that's always kind of been out there. But it's all about the quick things, and the quick thing. There's nothing better. There's nothing more versatile. You can sit down with them. You can eat them on the go. And I was not kidding. If I was going somewhere and I had not finished my Pop-Tarts, I would be on my bike, one bar and knock it out a Pop-Tart. You could do that. So it is not only filling, it is allegedly nutritional. Well, we can debate that one another day. But you could also, it was mobile. There was no bad place to knock out a Pop-Tart.
My idea of a four-course meal, Steve, four Pop-Tarts.
Atta baby.
So, and with that, we wrap up this first episode of But Before We Go. But for Steve, I'm Bill, and join us next week as we talk about You Can't Say That on Television. Till then.